Today on Seculum, Kamala exposed. VP Harris sits down with CNN as she eyes major trouble in a key swing state.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculum. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculum.
Hey folks, welcome to Seculum. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So the interview, if you want to call it that, 26 minutes. There were 17 questions, so pretty quick. To Harris, I think Walz had five, so a total of 26 minutes. It did appear edited, but of course they were doing it same day, so that could have just been, cuts that they made that just weren't as clean. We are not ever going to get a full transcript. So that does indicate that there was more to the interview, Logan, than there we actually see. But what we saw was a Harris trying to explain away how she is now not necessarily pro-fracking, but not going to doesn't support banned fracking, which she called for when she ran for president, and as a U.S. senator. She said on day one as president, she would ban fracking when she was running for Senate. Now, though she says, and this is what her whole kind of thing was about, Logan, it was, my values haven't changed, but the ways we get there have changed, so we could still have fracking, even though I don't like it, because we could do other things to offset fracking. I mean, it was...
Values haven't changed, but positions have changed.
Yes, I mean, it was a word, many people call it a word salad. I think it's why you don't see Harris doing a lot of these interviews. Let's just start it off so people can see, because I don't think our audience watched a lot of this, I have a feeling, to just kind of play how this kind of sounded, this back and forth sounded out, because, again, kind of instead of like pressing down, it was like boom, 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 on like a bunch of just, kind of let her get away with whatever she wanted to say.
Yeah.
And then, there's some on Walz as well. We'll talk about later with Rick Grenell. Let's play something.
When you were in Congress, you supported the Green New Deal. And in 2019, you said, quote, there is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, sure, particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Do you still want to ban fracking?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020, that I would not ban fracking. As vice president, I did not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
Well, first of all, as vice president, she couldn't ban fracking on her own. As president, now she's saying she won't, but now you have to trust her because of her values have not changed on the Green New Deal, but I guess she doesn't support the Green New Deal anymore. And Logan, this is because a new poll is out from Nate Silver, who is kind of, he's always trying to track everything, and he says, yeah, it's not Georgia I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at Pennsylvania as a problem for Harris because of these back and forth statements on fracking and on our natural resources.
Right, and she has fallen to a 47.3% chance of winning the Electoral College versus 52.4% for President Trump. And again, we're seeing Pennsylvania starting to slide because of statements like this. We're going to break all that down coming up. You may have seen the title on our YouTube or on our Rumble. In the next segment, we're going to get to that and really discuss these new polls, but also showcase what happened last night during this interview. I saw a lot of the highlights. I probably, like a lot of people, said, I'll just catch this at the end. You guys can tell me. I was at a concert and they started texting me, it's only 19 minutes, it's only 23 minutes. And then it was, it was over before it started. But like you said, almost rapid fire questions, but with very little substance.
I mean, the substance of most answers were, if it was a very liberal policy, she would say, we didn't push that through. Of course, my values haven't changed, but I do think we need to secure the border more. Yeah. She's like talking about
generics.
Building border wall.
What would you do on day one? Day one, a lot of things. I do some stuff. We'll play that coming up too. Hey, yeah, I do want to tell you, we are, this is our last day on air for our match right now. All donations are doubled during our Life and Liberty Drive. You heard about our new push to try to combat Planned Parenthood and what they're doing. When they had that bus out there, we're going to discuss a really disturbing story that we talked a little bit about yesterday, but there's even more to it now and why we think it's important to help not only take a legal fight, not only do a media counter campaign, but also to help sponsor a Stork bus, a brand new pro-life pregnancy resource mobile medical unit. You can be a part of that right now. The goal's big. The goal's $500,000. Going to take that to raise for this big, this effort.
Thank you, donors.
Well, let's do it again. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with more details.
Sekulow. So Harris does her first interview with her vice presidential nominee by her side. Walls, again, pre-taped, edited, pushed a little by Bash on a couple. We'll play that for you in just a minute. Really the only time, because when you get 26 minutes, you got two people to ask questions for. You're not going to have a ton of time to push back on every answer. And I will say, I mean, going into if this is it before she does, you know, other than rallies where she's reading off a teleprompter, a debate is going to be a very bizarre for her, because those kind of answers about values and things are just and again, it's just not going to keep you above water. You start sinking and you start looking like you don't know what you're really talking about, or that you'll say whatever you have to say, regardless of if it's popular or not, to get elected. So basically, you'll say, if it's popular, I'll say this. If it's not popular, my values have Shift. Told me that that while my values haven't changed, my policies have had to change, is what she'll, I guess, start to say. And that's what's making people nervous, Logan, in places like Pennsylvania, people that rely on issues like fracking, people that rely on these kind of issues, because they hear her, we can play it for everybody, and the pushback, and they say, you know what? This is someone, by the time they get into office, could go back right away back to saying, I'm going to ban fracking on day one. Take a listen. It's a longer exchange because we want to hear, let you hear Bash kind of push back a little on Harris to try and get an answer on what is she talking about with this change from saying she wanted to ban fracking on day one to not ban fracking. And we're just using this as an as one of the extreme examples of a huge policy shift.
Yeah, and I think for the day one clip, a lot of that conversation is just, you can see that push from Dana Bash to just be like, hey, you're still not really answering the question. So she doesn't even really get into any details. It's just like, I'm going to do a lot of stuff. Yeah. Take a listen.
Yeah.
If you are elected, what would you do on day one in the White House?
Well, there are a number of things. I will tell you, first and foremost, one of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class. When I look at the aspirations, the goals, the ambitions of the American people, I think that people are ready for a new way forward in a way that generations of Americans have been fueled by hope and by optimism. I think, sadly, in the last decade, we have had in the former president someone who has really been pushing an agenda and an environment that is about diminishing the character and the strength of who we are as Americans, really dividing our nation. And I think people are ready to turn the page on that.
So what would you do day one?
Day one, it's going to be about, one, implementing my plan for what I call an opportunity economy. I've already laid out a number of proposals in that regard, which include what we're going to do to bring down the cost of everyday goods, what we're going to do to invest in America's small businesses, what we're going to do to invest in families, for example, extending the child tax credit to $6,000 for families for the first year of their child's life, to help them buy a car seat, to help them buy baby clothes, a crib. There's the work that we're going to do that is about investing in the American family around affordable housing, a big issue in our country right now.
Okay. Yeah, so just a lot of words, a lot of, we're going to help people do stuff, good stuff. We're going to help them do things. By the way, of course, the one detail she brings up is baby clothes and those type of things. And stuff that, by the way, who provides a lot of those now? Your pregnancy resource centers that you're currently also trying to shut down.
Right. I mean, I just want to, you know, just remind folks that while we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, and we will start to take your phone calls. So give us a call. Did you learn anything from this interview, or even the bites that you might have seen from the interview, other than the fact that Harris is going to, the reason they don't want her doing specific interviews is clear. They're going to shift policies around until they find exactly where they think the American voter is, the majority is, because they're trying to find, it looks like fracking's okay now. The moms are not against fracking because gas prices are up. So we need to actually support fracking for right now. And then if later we need to be against fracking because we can get gas prices down, we'll ban it. So, by the way, if your job involves fracking or an industry that relies on fracking, you may not want to be supporting Harris, by the way, because take a listen to this one about how you even got there in this word salad, bite five.
What made you, when you were in Congress, you supported the Green New Deal. And in 2019, you said, quote, there is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, sure. particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania. Sure. Do you still want to ban fracking?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020, that I would not ban fracking. As vice president, I did not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
I mean, it's really extreme, Logan, to go. That's like saying, you know, like I was pro-abortion and now I'm going to be pro-life and I'm going to be so pro-life.
And more of a here's a reason why. I think the difference is if you said, okay, let's lay out a reason why my opinions have changed. There's no reason. It's just, of course I said I'm not going to do it. There isn't a reason. I think you can have a change of heart. You can have a change of thought.
Put the finger into the wind.
Yeah, what the voters want. And when you have a situation like what's going on currently in Pennsylvania, where you are actually seeing a much closer race right. than expected, you see a race that actually may lean towards President Trump, which again, Pennsylvania has been one of those states that always can kind of go either way.
It's been tough. I remember he carried it the first time, lost it the second time. Republicans have wanted it. They have had success there before in other statewide elections, but I'll tell you, it's kind of, you can win Pennsylvania. It's a very good sign as you move on election night. Now, usually Pennsylvania comes in later because it's a big state, but you know it could certainly, if you're winning Pennsylvania, Logan, it's like you're probably winning Georgia too. It's kind of what I mean. You know what I mean? Like if you can win now, they're different, very different states demographically. But what I mean is you've hit on the right notes, and you've got enough suburban voters and enough blue collar voters together to decide to pull the lever for Trump again, which they did not do the last election cycle.
And of course, this is just in those key swing states. I mean, even Nate Silver said if this was a general populated vote, Harris would currently win by about 4 points.
I think that's true for every election currently, and that's because the founding fathers were very smart.
Yeah, it's because of the coasts.
Democrats outweigh, outnumber Republicans by registration by millions. So if they have good turnout, they would always technically win. And it's why we have a democratic republic is so that you get representation, sometimes based off your size of your state, like in the House. Yeah. Sometimes you get equal, like in the Senate. And then in the election, you do get more influenced by the size of your state, but by the electoral college, so that states that are smaller still can play a key role, or else they would be completely ignored politically, even if they were kind of a 50-50 state.
That's right. And he kind of goes on later and says, however, she's fallen to only a 47.3% chance of winning the Electoral College. Obviously, that's what matters. And the numbers, all that really matters, because you are fighting for just these handful of states. And I think when you have that moment of talking about fracking, you talk about those situations, it's because those aren't playing well in these handful of states.
No, not at all. You know, I want to tell people this too. Because we only have one day left in our Life and Liberty Drive, Logan, and this is your last chance to have your gift doubled to the ACLJ. I want to say one. I tried to say, I didn't know if everybody could hear me in the last segment. I just want to say thank you to our donors who came out yesterday in strong support. We're getting there towards our goal. We're not there yet to the 500,000 goal, but I want to say thank you for those of you who did answer our call for your support. But we're short, and this is our final day on air before the deadline. So it's a holiday weekend. We know we're going into Saturday is the last day of the month, so we're not on the air live. We need your support as we launch this major initiative. We've got a lawsuit fighting the smear campaign against the pregnancy resource centers in Massachusetts. We're launching a counter campaign there to set the record straight and spread hope to those in crisis. And by the way, just like they're just starting in Massachusetts, we only want to just be starting in Massachusetts as well. We want to be able to take this battle to each state they bring. They, the pro-abortion industry, bring the battle to working with these blue states. And we just heard a story, of course, Logan, from our friends at Save the Storks yesterday, about, it's just horrifying, about that DNC bus basically being a complete ripoff
of the Save the Storks buses, which are these pro-life pregnancy resource centers. They have these buses that are represented all over the country. And Planned Parenthood decided, hey, that's a good-looking bus, and went in and essentially ripped off the plans, ripped off everything. We're not talking about just the exterior look. We're talking about the interior as well. And of course, there is one big difference between the Planned Parenthood bus and the Save the Storks bus. Now, you may say, of course, one is a pro-life pregnancy center. One provides abortions. Sure, that's one of the big ones. But even more so, of course, what would Planned Parenthood not provide that, of course, the Storks bus provide? A patient-facing ultrasound. Of course, you walk into any pro-life pregnancy center, likely they have an ultrasound. That's why these are so expensive. You're talking about $500,000 we're trying to raise for this campaign? That's only going a small portion to make sure we have the equipment in one of these buses.
Oh, you're making it medical quality interior.
But of course, Planned Parenthood decided, no, we're not going to actually show. We're not going to show the ultrasound to the patient. So there's no forward-facing ultrasound room here for the medical use, for medical use, not for the patient to actually see the baby. You know why? Because there is one reason that bus exists. It has nothing to do with choice.
No, it has to do with killing the baby. And the abortionist is using that ultrasound device to help kill the baby in the procedure. Let me tell you this. I'll be blunt. This is going to take immense resources, as we told you, which we've got to get to $500,000 to be able to do all of this. We need your support, whether it's a small dollar donation or a big donation. And folks, I know we've got big donors out there who can write big checks, even in these tough economic times. It's when we need you to step up and donate to the ACLJ to make that financial contribution. We've only got one day left. Go to ACLJ.org. Your gift will be doubled, whatever amount it is. Donate today. To Secular. We are taking your calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to actually Dana's call from Washington online too.
Yeah, or is it Dana? We'll find out.
Yeah. Dana, line you two. Let us know. Welcome to the show.
Yeah,
you're on the air.
Hello. Yeah, this is Dana. I live in Southwest Washington. I am not better off now than what I was when Trump was president. There was things he said that kind of ticked me off, but all in all, he's probably, looking back, I'm 77. Yep. Looking back, he's probably one of the top best presidents we've ever had. Harris is not qualified. She's just gaslighting us. She isn't even, I bet she doesn't have a policy. She's just talking head.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. She's been in the Senate. She's been an attorney general, Dana. She's been, attorney general, U.S. senator, a prosecutor. Of course, we hear a lot about that. And a vice president for 3.5 years. And it's like she comes out and it's like she's coming out with policy proposals like she's never had a chance to push a policy proposal. Now, as vice president, be fair, you don't get to decide. But you do have influence. If you really cared about one or two things, usually those one or two things that you care about, you'd be pushing for both inside with the president and Biden, and then they would say, okay, fine, you take on these initiatives, you be the lead on them. She never really was the lead on anything, Logan, and she did get asked about it.
And she didn't get stuff done. I mean, this is, Dana asked, and essentially feels like she's gaslighting the American voter. Let's take a listen to Bite 3. Where that's brought up, that you've been vice president for 3.5 years. Why are you now talking about these things?
So you have been vice president for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
The steps that you're talking about now, why haven't you done them already?
Well, first of all, we had to recover as an economy, and we have done that. I'm very proud of the work that we have done that has brought inflation down to less than 3%. The work that we have done to cap the cost of insulin at $35 a month for seniors. Donald Trump said he was going to do a number of things, including allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices. Never happened. We did it. So now, as I travel in the state of Georgia and around our country, the number of seniors that have benefited, I was in Nevada recently, a grandmother who showed me her receipts. And before we capped the cost of insulin for seniors at $35 a month, she was paying hundreds of dollars, up to thousands of dollars a month for her insulin.
Okay, can I ask you something? Has any of you the economy gotten better? She asserted that, right, Logan? I mean,
we fixed it. We're very proud of it.
Oh, yeah. We fixed that. I mean, right away she said, well, first of all, we had to recover as an economy, and we have done that. Do any one of you out there believe that we have recovered as an economy? Or how about do you think that we are still in an inflationary season where things could get even worse? That's what I believe. I mean, and it's scary to kind of think about that. And listen, that's why even when we're fundraising on this show, I'm really talking to folks who I know have the financial resources that even if it's a tougher time, have got the financial resources to be able to make a contribution that can have this kind of influence with, getting a bus out there for a pro-life pregnancy center, getting the litigation done, getting the counter campaign done, because you care so much about the issue of life and protecting the unborn and protecting those mothers as well. And if you can do that, we encourage you. This is the final day we're on air. We're trying to get to 500,000. We had a big day yesterday, and I want to thank you if you were part of that. Absolutely. We've got to have another bit. We need a huge day today, Logan.
Yeah, I just want to be transparent, we made it about halfway. Made it about halfway to our goal with the match donations. So we know this right now because we said the goal is $500,000 to raise to really kick off the whole campaign. That is the ad campaign, the marketing campaign, the legal fight, and of course now the ACLJ sponsored, and ACLJ, by the way, sponsored by you, ACLJ champions and ACLJ supporters, sponsored brand new Stork bus that we are going to put, which of course is a medical, mobile medical unit that can go anywhere, and we're going to work with Save the Storks to put it wherever they feel like is the best place to put it. Obviously, this comes on the heels of our big campaign that's running in Massachusetts right now, is we are fighting against the attack on pro-life pregnancy centers that is happening right there. So I encourage you, go to ACLJ.org. We've had some big moments happen. Even in the last few minutes, a lot of people have stepped up and supported our work here, and we need you to do it. The fight has never been greater. It is happening, like you said, whether it's on the airwaves, what you're seeing last night in that interview, you are seeing what's happening. I'm sure it'll come up in the debate that will be with President Trump with the issue of life. Of course, we saw it on the streets outside of the DNC with their ripped-off bus. The Planned Parenthood ripped off, of course, a pro-life pregnancy center, said, you know what, they do it well. Let's go do theirs. How about we make it look less nice, though? How about we take out forward-facing ultrasounds and we just provide abortions? Make this death bus a reality. No, we're going to return the... That was such a major way, but we cannot do it without you. So I encourage you right now, go to ACLJ.org, scan the QR code if you're watching on screen. I'm tracking the numbers right now to see how many people we can get during this live broadcast. We know a lot of you watch it later on. Don't worry. It's midnight is the deadline for this. You have time to do it. Midnight tomorrow. But you know what? This is our last day on air. Heading into a holiday weekend, don't wait until tomorrow. Yeah. You're going to be busy. Do it right now. Go to ACLJ.org. Again, you're going to help sponsor this bus, this brand new Stork bus. But with that, also join the legal fight for this continues. That's and right. It is going to be a battle.
I mean, it's just beginning. We're just beginning in Massachusetts. We know this is going to be something these pro-abortion industry wants to. They're just starting in Massachusetts. They've said it. So we're going to be ready, of course, with our core mission legally to be fighting back in every state. And that's where the first resources go. Second resources go to the issue campaign, the counter campaign. That's part of what we do at the ACLJ too, the messaging. But the third resource is to put that bus on the road, that pro-life mobile pregnancy center on the road. That is going to take more resources than we have available to us right now. So our donors, our supporters are going to have to step up.
Yeah, we're seeing that step up right now, by the way. I don't want to call anyone out by name just because we want to protect people's privacy, but we just had someone who just went to the website and made a $5,000 donation. That, of course, is matched, so that it becomes a $10,000 donation.
Think about that,
so
folks.
Amazing. Now, that shouldn't push you back, though, if you can only give $5, $10, $20. That's the core.
It all adds up. You know, our average donation usually comes in around, you know, $35, $40 because every single one of those donations, that becomes 80, you know, and a $100 donation becomes 200. I mean, you go up from there. So what I'm talking to you is I'm talking to people, whether you've got a money set aside, you know, and you're able to make this, whatever donation you can, that's not going to affect your life in a negative way, that's what we're asking for today. We know there's people that are financially hurting, and I don't want to be putting pressure on you. Yeah. Folks, you got to take care of your family first. And there's big donors out there, though, who, even when the financial times are kind of up and down, they've got, you know, a major resources. This is when you guys need to step up, like with the $5,000 donation, and even bigger. Because we know you can make those donations right now because you're not, while you might not be at the same financial position you were under President Trump, you're still in a great financial position. So you've got the resources to make a donation. We want to make sure if you're going to make a big one, make it when it's going to count for double the impact. So that five, like Logan said, that 5,000 really becoming like 10,000. A 10,000 would be like 20. I mean, somebody donated $50,000 right now, Logan, their donation would be equivalent to $100,000. Yeah, I mean, think about how far that goes.
Well towards the goal.
Yeah, right there.
So if you can do that, go to ACLJ.org. And hey, we do have a second half hour coming up. If you don't get us on your local station, find us broadcasting live on YouTube, on Rumble, on ACLJ.org, and on X. You can find us on all those platforms and more. Just search for ACLJ. You'll find us there. I encourage you, if you are brand new also, and maybe you just are finding out about us, we learn about 50% of the people who watch this show live are brand new each and every day. So if you're like, I'm not really sure if I can give right now, I'm just learning about the ACLJ, learning about what you do here, here's a real easy and free way to help. Hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, and throw in a comment. Just tell me where you're watching from, because that gets our message into more hands at absolutely no cost for you, and it helps support the work in a different way But right now, we encourage you, ACLJ.org, get your gifts doubled right now.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Let me just say, for those of you joining us, our second half hour of Seculo, thank you. We don't usually spend this much time fundraising on the show. This is our final day for what has been a two-month-long Life and Liberty drive at the ACLJ. And this opportunity to provide this resource to Save the Storks just becoming available to us really yesterday. We knew we could do it the first time on air with these final 2 days that we'd have with you. So again, you know that if you're a regular listener of the broadcast, we're usually just getting into the issues. Of course, updating you on what the ACLJ is about. Of course, we'll ask for your financial support, but we're not using that much time in the show. We're doing it today because we've got this great opportunity, and I think you want to be, and a lot of our donors will want to be a part of that very awesome opportunity. But we're getting into politics too, of course, with the interview yesterday, with the new polling out that why Harris would make these reversals on the climate when she decided to pick such a liberal running mate, Logan. It was interesting that she went with Walz, but is now going, trying to play like she's some moderate. I want to go to the phones at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go to Fred in Tennessee on line one. Fred, thanks for holding.
Hi, man. Good to hear your show, and I appreciate all the work you're doing to raise money for this worthy cause that you definitely need.
Thanks so much.
I hear your show quite a bit while I'm here at work. So I listen to a Christian channel here in Knoxville, Tennessee, New Life Radio here, and WGSN. And they only play a half hour, but we need a whole hour on their show. But
all right, anyway, well, let them know. Let them know. But of course, you can find it always online. But go ahead.
Yes, sir, Will. I think there's something I'm probably most bothered with whoever's going to be the presidential candidate. You not maybe agree or disagree that there are members in Congress that will never get voted out. They don't want term limits, so they got to write these bills and these policies to put on the president's desk for approval. The president is kind of a puppet. The president doesn't make the ultimate decision. You have all these people making these decisions for us that are getting super PAC funding. They got Congress. They got the House of Congress. They're not doing anything but filling their pockets full of money. They're the lobbyists. And who are these polls? I've never been polled.
I know. It is bizarre. You're in Tennessee, Fred. You're not going to get a lot of polls here.
Yeah.
Why? Pretty red state. So
maybe the reddest.
The only time you really get polling here is in the primaries. And even then, primary campaigns don't have the kind of resources to put out. They're not putting out like Washington Post-style polling. So that is why. It does depend on where you live. Second, right, Congress on most policies does have to put legislation for it. Whoever the president is, though, really does set the kind of, they set the mood for Congress. Because, even a Congress that's of a different party gets pressured, to get budget through and what actually gets through with the budget. But I do want to make sure you understand that the president has a lot of power. Remember, they entered the Green New Deal internationally with the Paris Climate Accords. They didn't do that through Congress. They did that through the executive branch and then said, we're going to put pressure on Congress to meet those standards. So they, as the executive branch, because they use that as like a foreign policy decision, did that on their own. But I think you also got to say, Logan, President Trump has embraced RFK Jr., who has talked so much about those corporations and a kind of special interest,
sure,
having too much power in Washington, D.C. So I do get why people are concerned. I would say this. Look at the policies under President Trump. Look at the policies under President Biden. Do you really think they're the exact same? No, they're very different, and that's because of who is at the top. And of course, who is at the top impacts who is leading Congress, both in the House and the Senate.
We're going to continue to take your calls coming up, and also Rick Grinnell joins us in the next segment to really break down all that's been happening this week as we do head towards this big finale of our Life and Liberty drive. This is the last day on air where your gifts are doubled. We are seeing a real pop right now because we know you care and this is your moment to do it. So be a part of it. Go to aclj.org. If you're on hold right now, stay on hold. Phone lines are completely jammed, but they will open up usually after the guest. We'll take as many calls as we can. So we got Rick Grinnell coming up and then we get to hear from you. So stay on hold. We will get to you. Go to aclj.org right now, though. Make that donation. It is doubled. And this is it. This is the only time. You got months until this will happen again. You got to be a part of it right now. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
All right, folks, we're going to get into more politics right now with Rick Rednow. Rick, thanks for joining us. I want to talk about the interview yesterday, if you want to call it that, the pre-taped, edited interview that Harris had to do with her vice presidential nominee sitting next to her. And, you know, some bizarre answers, but there were some on walls too that I want to get to. And it's you know, we talked about that stolen valor issue. Bash did ask about that, you know, these comments he made about carrying weapons of war. Let's play it for everybody because I know a lot of our audience did not spend the time to go through this entire interview, understandably. But I want to play it for everybody first, Rick, so they know what we're talking about, and then get your comment.
And the idea that you said that you were in war, yeah. Did you misspeak, as the campaign has said?
Yeah, I said we were talking about, in this case, this was after a school shooting, the ideas of carrying these weapons of war. And my wife, the English teacher, told me my grammar's not always correct. But again, if it's not this, it's an attack on my children for showing love for me, or it's an attack on my dog. I'm not going to do that. And the one thing I'll never do is I'll never demean another member's service in any way. I never have, and I never will.
All right. I mean, that's not how I took it, that it was had anything to do with school shootings, Rick. I thought it had to do with his service. In fact, I was one of those people that said, like, you know what, it's 24 years of service. Maybe we shouldn't be attacking him on that until we realized he was not giving us the full story about his 24 years of service. And when you start claiming military service that you didn't do, even while you wore the uniform, other members of the military don't look kindly on that.
Look, it was after a school shooting. He is trying to say that he understands what these weapons are like. He told a story that was a lie. He said, I've carried these weapons, and so I know that they need to be banned, or I know that they're bad. He was equating a school shooting to the solutions in his mind that needed to happen in order to combat a school shooting. Except the example that he gave was a total made up lie. He's never carried these weapons. And so it's not about anything other than his credibility and his line. Now, he did a good job of spinning, saying, oh, you mocked my son at the convention, and you caught me talking about two different dogs, and I'm calling them the same name. He still hasn't answered that question. They're trying to spin their way out. But this is what they do with the help of the media and with the help of people like CNN. I just got to say that Dana Bash asked some good questions, but failed to follow up. And I think that we can call her out for not being interested enough to play gotcha, to push back. And it's something that if you just look at what Dana does, say, with J.D. Vance, it's a stark difference. I would challenge anyone who's interested in media credibility to watch the interview that she does with Republicans versus Democrats. And you will see then that Dana Bash is clearly rooting for the Democrats.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's surprised by that. I think that, again, in the debate, they were surprisingly pushy, but that was different than this interview, which they were begging to get so they would have the first interview, if you even want to call it that, Rick. Do you think she'll ever do a press conference, by the way? I mean, I know that we're guessing here and she might get pushed into having to do one, but it does seem like her strategy is do as little, unstructured media, stay on the teleprompter, stay with walls right next to her, and just kind of throw out, even when you're going to change your policy, say, it's not a policy change, you know, I might change my policies, but the values don't. I just, you know, we can do the same things. We don't have to stop fracking anymore. When you start seeing your poll numbers drop in Pennsylvania, which is something we've seen happen in just the last few days.
Yeah, we should say one thing that's a fact is that the Democrats have to win Pennsylvania in order to win the White House. If they lose Pennsylvania, they don't have a path. And so if you're listening to us in Pennsylvania, you are ground zero. They can lose or win Michigan and still win the presidency if they concentrate on Pennsylvania and then add a couple of others. They cannot win the presidency if they don't win Pennsylvania. That's just a fact because of what the map looks like right now. And so all hands on deck in Pennsylvania. And I think, Jordan, it's one of the reasons why she has really drawn back her language on the kind of pro-Arab American, pro-Palestinian talk. She is running from that because they've calculated she can lose Michigan and the Detroit suburbs, and they're very unhappy with her. And I think what it looks like to me is that the Harris team is giving up on Michigan.
I was going to say all in Pennsylvania. Yeah, I was going to jump in there, Rick, because she picks a very liberal running mate. But then on those issues where they thought that she was going to try to utilize him, like he loved Ilhan Omar, it makes her smile thinking about that. And Ilhan Omar was so excited about it, so was AOC. And yet now, you know, she wants everybody to believe she's the strongest supporter of Israel. You know, she's not going to talk about embargoes. She's not going to work with those groups that are both in Michigan or even in Minnesota and Wisconsin and these uncommitted groups. And is instead playing, as you said, right to Pennsylvania. It's an interesting shift to make after choosing someone like Walz.
Well, don't forget the fracking point. Not only is she backed away from talking about Palestinians or the suffering, and she's trying to be totally pro-Israel right now, she's also saying, I always changed my mind about fracking. It's been 4 years, you know, catch up is what she's been saying, but it's not true. Even CNN fact checked her to say, this is not true, and it's completely out of the blue. But they are realizing that they cannot win without Pennsylvania, and so they have a Pennsylvania strategy. They've given up on Michigan, it looks like.
Hey, Rick, I did want to give you a moment to really talk about, you know, this is the final day on air for our Life and Liberty Drive. This is an important moment here at the ACLJ. We talked about last time you were on, but you've seen firsthand, whether inside the ACLJ, where you are now, working with us on a weekly, daily basis almost, but also you've seen the work when you have been in the government to see what the work can be done. We are wrapping up this essentially matching donation moment here where donations are doubled. We're trying to have a big day here. I just wanted to give you the opportunity to really tell people about the work of the ACLJ. Not again, you've seen it from both sides here. It's very important.
Look, I come from California, and we had an amazing governor, Ronald Reagan, who became president of the United States. And Reagan warned us that every single generation has to fight for their freedom. And I think that we are living in a time where you can't watch this amazing program and hear great content from ACLJ and then turn it off and think, gosh, I hope they do something. I hope somebody else does something. You have to ask yourself, what are you doing every day to save America? Every single day when you wake up, you have to ask yourself, what am I doing? Somebody has to run for office that's listening to us right now. Somebody has to have a bigger voice. And some people have to write bigger checks. And that's just the reality of doing content like this. We need our partners. We need the support. And the reality is that ACLJ is very good at action, not just talking. We have offices around the world. We're filing court cases. We take action. It's one of the reasons why I joined ACLJ is simply because it's not just talk. It's actually action. So I hope people will realize it's crucial that they join with us and that they play a role. And they not only take our content and share it, but they talk about it with their friends and family. They challenge other people to listen, and they write as big a check as they can.
Rick, I appreciate you doing that for us, and I appreciate you being a member of our team at the ACLJ. And the reason you're able to be a member of our team, we were able to go to Rick and say, Rick, you want to join us and be part of the ACLJ team? That was because of supporters of the ACLJ. And then we gain a new audience. We get to new people. We learn more. When we talk about those national security issues, you get to hear from Rick on it. When you hear these campaign issues, and he's deeply within the Trump campaign, you're hearing from those issues. A former member of the cabinet from the national security world here on the broadcast, you know, each week joining us a couple times a week. All of that I say because it all comes back to the donors, and it comes back to that financial support so that you have the information, like Rick said, because you got to talk to your friends and family this election cycle. You've got to have some of the uncomfortable conversations. Put the bumper sticker on your truck. I did, you know, and you know what? People have come up and they said, that's great. I love seeing that. I love to know that at this school, there's people here that share the same politics I do. And then you start that conversation, a couple more people come over, and you know what? People start thinking, you know what, if my friends, my family, the people that are going to that same school or church or place of business, they're like me, and they're voting this way. It's not so, you know, I don't need to believe the media that's so crazy to support this way. We're providing all of that to you here. But we're also going to court. We're trying to put this bus slogan right on the street, this pro-life mobile pregnancy center to combat the abortion buses that we think Planned Parenthood is about to launch across the country. By the way, not just one of those at the DNC. That's just the start, just like this campaign in Massachusetts. And it's when we need you right now. For those of you out there, again, who have donated in the last 24 hours, a big thank you. And whether you are a big donor, whether you consider yourselves like a grassroots donor, all those grassroots donors, by the way, you're the core of the ACLJ. So God bless you and thank you for all of your support over the years of the ACLJ. But let me talk to some big donors for a moment here. I know you're out there because we've gotten some donations from you. If you can write those bigger checks, those thousands of dollar checks, right now, that donation is still doubled. You got today to do it. And we will know very quickly if we're going to be able to put that bus on the road. Donate today at ACLJ.org until midnight tonight. Let's get this pro-life pregnancy center. Welcome back to Seculo with our final segment and of the week, final segment of the weekend and of this push that we've been making. Again, go to ACLJ.org if you can make that donation. I know we spent a lot of time in the last segment asking you to do that, but again, we're doing it because it's we've got this really cool, unique opportunity to really have an impact on life in the courts. Of course, you know we're doing the counter campaign we're doing, but the bus as well. That would be something new for us at the ACLJ, and I would love to, you know, utilize those resources we have through our donors to be able to put another one of those pro-life resources on the bus. Let's get to the phones, Logan. We've actually got a call coming in that was I tried to get on yesterday, so let's go to Will first.
Yeah, Will in Maryland on line six, or line five, I'm sorry. Will, you're on the air.
Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. You know, we had a situation where my daughter, she just turned 16, and she went to DMV, got her learner's permit. We got a letter like a few days later saying that she's registered to vote. 16 years old, registered to vote. And I wonder, are they using this method to steal or even to create people
Will,
who are...
I would love, Will, if you would hang on the line, I would love to get your information to our attorneys. And here's why. Lots of states, because we have a federal motor voter law, right? So... you're supposed to, you know, if you are of legal voting age and you're a citizen, they will ask you a lot of times when you get your license or renew your license, do you want to make sure you're registered to vote?
And when I moved here,
and you check
I remember
a box.
I said yes.
Or not, and that's about it. And, and you might, in some states, you don't even have to check a box. You just, they actually just register you. If you would stay on the line so we can get your information, I would like our attorneys to contact you and do a little research into Maryland to see if this was a one-off error. Or,
which is the DMV, it can
is this a mass problem that their system takes anyone who comes in, even the minors who come in who are not eligible yet to vote, and just because they've gotten, they put their request in for an ID, they then get those letters that they could go vote. And then maybe you could, if you still have the letter, get it to our attorneys, let them see what it says. Like because this would be very important to do for election integrity in Maryland and nationwide. And so, Will, I'm really glad you called back today. Hang on the line. And one of those ACLJ attorneys, and Logan, this was a great example of a call where this is how we utilize all the attorneys that I'm an attorney, but the attorneys that we've got at the ACLJ who listen to our broadcast as well to know when things like this pop up, be ready to contact Will.
Absolutely. Let's continue on. Will, though, stay on hold. Let's go to Bill in Wyoming. Bill, we didn't get you the other day also, and now you're back. Bill, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I really wished I could have seen that interview yesterday because of the fact that, number one, my company, they're reducing the hours of many of the employees, and this is a many-state company, so I'm not happy with the economy. And I tend to think that what she's doing is using some of the playbook that Obama said, that he's saying, this is my stance, so that you can elect me, and then when he gets in, well, suddenly during my time in office, I've evolved in my thinking, and I think this is the other, this other choice should be done.
Well, listen, I think you can evolve on issues. I don't think she is evolving and changing on issues. She's saying she's not, because she's saying her values are the same. She is just going to take these softball interviews, Logan, if this is the worst kind of interview she has to get through, then this is going to be easy for her.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what? I don't know that she's going to do it. She's probably not going to do another interview until after the debate, yeah, right?
Certainly not with less friendly.
Right. I mean, who's going to be more friendly? MSNBC? I'm not even sure. Because they are hard liberal, they may not like that answer on fracking. CNN is in that spot, right, where they want Democrats to win. MSNBC wants Democrats to be liberals and win, but CNN wants those Democrats to win. So I appreciate your call. I do think, by the way, if you want to find the interview, it's everywhere. You can watch it online.
Clips, yeah.
If you can stomach through it.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Martin, who he maybe couldn't stomach through it. Martin, you're on the air.
You just took my... Thank you, guys. You just took my stand. I couldn't stomach more than 3 or 4 minutes of it. But I want to say this, that I want to give two examples very quickly why people need to do their own fact-checking. When you played that segment about they had to get the economy, they created the mess. What was it, 7-9% inflation down to 3, and they're happy with that? And Donald Trump had, what, 1.6%? And then the other thing, going back to last night when I turned it off, when she was blaming Donald Trump for the loss of jobs during COVID, when if you do your fact checking, each individual state put their own shelter in place, in fact. So they blame him, then they take credit when the jobs come back. You got to do your own fact checking, got to learn for yourself. That's why I couldn't stomach this.
You are the kind of person we need out there, right? Talking to your friends and family. You are in a key state too. Republicans get North Carolina back. It's like Rick said, you know, they have to win Pennsylvania, but if they don't win Michigan, they have to win a couple other states. North Carolina is like one of those. So is Georgia. So you're going to play a very important role. So make sure you're getting that information out to your friends and family. I mean, that it's the truth, folks. I know that when we're talking to our audience, and I think that you can learn a lot from this broadcast. And I even learned a lot, you know, from the guests that we'll have on. But I also know that you are probably some of the most educated folks out there on the issues. So you can call it in these interviews really quickly and say, you know what, this is not true. I know these facts aren't right because I know what the inflation numbers are. And I know what the reality was under COVID, that it was not President Trump who was shutting down the businesses. It was governors and mayors and places. And if you were in a redder state, in a redder city, or even in a kind of a, you could be in a blue city, but in a red state that knew that they really relied on service jobs. And guess what? Places like where we live, Logan, opened up as quickly as possible.
Yeah, it was looking back on it, wild how quickly they did. Let's go ahead and take
how long were we actually home?
A few months. It was really what happened. I think before they got everything.
We were
back
able home, actually to
kind
get,
of March
get
to July.
Here.
I'd say is when it started happening. Let's go ahead quickly. Oh, for us, it was quicker. We had a smaller crew. Let's go to. We got to wrap up with some calls from Pennsylvania. So let's go to Anthony real quick in Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, a lot of people, you know, they don't have time to volunteer, but they got the money to donate. I'm the opposite with no money, but I got the time. So I write letters to the editor, call my congressman, contact elected officials on social media. And if you're worried about, you know, your voter rolls, you got to get in touch with your county election bureau. Make sure, find out when they last, you know, purged the rolls of dead voters and things like that. And get involved with your county GOP office. I'll be volunteering at a couple
Anthony,
of...
Anthony, I hate to cut you off. We are just running out of time. Anthony, we appreciate it. So we got Tina. You got like 20 seconds. Tina, you're on the air.
20 seconds. Here I go. I've never been polled, and I live in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, if they pull what they pulled 4 years ago, the Dems will take it. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to go red. Because we're tired of the high taxes, we're tired of Biden, we're tired of Harris. She can't even do an interview without looking down. I would love to interview.
It was a lot of looking down, and there were not notes.
Right.
It was like she just not want to look people in the eye. I'm going to look you in the eye right now, folks. I'm going to tell you this. We need your financial support. Thank you, Tina, for getting that to 20 seconds. Good job there. And listen, we know we can win Pennsylvania with Donald Trump at the top of the ticket because we've done it before. We know we can lose. So it's going to come down to those voters in Pennsylvania, and it's going to come down to people talking to their friends and family and getting them out to vote. Let me tell you what else. To save the unborn lives, Logan, we've got to get the financial contributions up to the ACLJ. Again, we've got our legal work going, fighting for life in Massachusetts in this fight against pro-life pregnancy centers. We've got the counter campaign starting to work as well. But to put the bus on the street, We need to do all of that, about $500,000. We're halfway there. I want to get the rest of the way there by midnight tonight.
That's right. We did hit that halfway mark, so encourage you, be a part of it right now. Go to ACLJ.org at any level you can. Big donor, small donor, it doesn't matter. We're built on the back of you. So please, ACLJ.org right now. Have a good holiday weekend.